Ray Haynes and a live Passover Seder. The Timeless Seder with Ray Haynes. Now, Monica writes on the Facebook live stream.
Okay.
Hey, quick question. Can you... quick question.
It's almost a sentence.
can you have a printout of all this teaching?
You sure can.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, all of yesterday's teaching, you can go on our blog. There's two spots now, a Thursday and a Friday. If you go on Thursday, you have all the breaks that we talked about and a printout. And same thing now. Mind you, you're going to get my script that I've done, which is all my notes and everything like that. Now, we've obviously talked extemporaneously here as well, so that obviously is not on my notes. But all of the notes will be posted there, all of these on-air breaks, as well as you can already go to our website. The little banner that pops up where you click to go to our blog, if you play that, that's now the Facebook Live video that you could go to. But if you go to the blog, that will be there, and it'll be there permanently. So, you know, even a year from now, if you want to go back and enjoy this live Seder, you can.
And there you go. And it's on Facebook Live, on the Rise and Stein Facebook page, and the Victory Facebook page.
And so if you don't do Facebook, no worries. We've got you covered there. You don't have to go to Facebook. Just go to our website or the blog.
I don't do the face base.
I don't do that whole face thing, no. All right, so this, you can still see our Seder plate in the middle here. We thank Kelly so much for all that she did to lay things out, to prepare, to go and get this, that, and the other thing.
To make the stuff. I mean, and it's all delicious. And
oh, my goodness. Everything that we had was just tremendous. So very, very thankful. And, of course, then we've got to do it all again for Seder at our house, too. So think of that. We've just begun. So we're now past the Seder portion, but we can't stop. When I was a kid, I remember as a new Christian, I think it was Jesus Christ Superstar, and I went to the theater, you know, live thing, and I watched it, and he dies on the cross. And it ends. And I went, wait, that's not it. And so, you know, that's a terrible ending. And same thing goes for Passover. You can't end without the ending, right? It's too cool. So what happens? He dies on the cross. Now, on the Feast of First Fruits date, now that was a couple days later of the feast. And here's some of the significant things on First Fruit. That's when Noah's flood ended. The seventh month was later designated as the first month at the time of the Exodus. Our new creation in Messiah began on the anniversary of the rebirth of the world. If you notice also, Passover month becomes the first month, right? So you have creation back here in the fall in Rosh Hashanah. So you have a birthday there at the beginning. You have a calendar of the first month. But you also have one here. Why? Of course, they would know this, but it's when you're born again. So we have two birthdays. Passover is our born-again date. So you don't actually have a spiritual date when you were saved. It's everybody's is the same. It's Passover.
But is there going to be cake? Is there a Passover cake?
Unfortunately,
I think that should be introduced into the...
Well, you know, Manischewitz...
I can handle that.
Manischewitz makes a flourless cake.
I've had that flourless chocolate cake.
This is not it. My mom, because even though they did not believe in God, they took all of the leaven out of the house.
Of course.
And my mom would try to make this Manischewitz flourless cake each year, and it was horrific.
Apparently, they're very good cooks at Manischewitz. They can do the crackers, they can make cake.
The box was better than the actual cake.
Which is no way to celebrate Jesus,
right? That's right.
So, okay, so let's throw in a couple stories here from the Bible. The story of the rich man and Lazarus. It's called Abraham's Bosom, also called Hades, in Luke 16. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side, or bosom, or Hades. It translates the same word. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So they're both in Hades. There's a chasm. There's a separation of those who are righteous and those who are unrighteous. So everyone who died from Adam and Eve all the way up to the thief on the cross are there. They're in two different portions, depending on if they had faith or if they didn't have faith. But the problem is, only one thing can save you, right? And that is Jesus Christ. It is the Passover lamb. You have to eat the real lamb that is Jesus Christ. So why does Jesus go into Hades? Because it's not enough that they died in faith that way. They have to identify him. They have to put their faith in him. that, I mean, it's, you know, you read through Hebrews 11 and just say, how in the world did they see this and this and get this out of this and walk in faith? My goodness. So 1 Peter 3, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah. So you get that verse, you're going, what in the world? He's preaching to the people in Noah's day, and what's he doing in Hades? Well, he's doing Passover, essentially. He's telling of the lamb who was slain for the freedom of the captives. So this is the most amazing moment of history here. So it's the only sacrifice that you take into and you eat, right? So now the Passover lamb walks into Hades.
Mm.
And here we go. We talked about it yesterday. So all this time, the death angel, the destroyer, is coming, trying to get into their homes and can't get in. And now the lamb comes, and where does he go? Right into the destroyer's home. And he can go in the door. So why is he there? He's doing Passover. And because all of us enter through one door, it's Jesus Christ. Those who were, those who are, and those who are to come, everybody, they all get to cast down their crowns at his feet. Moses does, Abraham does, everyone. Jesus said, and Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Mm-hmm. And most people would say, Jesus never let one prisoner free. He never broke into prison or broke anybody out of prison until the book of Acts, of course. But this was those captives. So you're entering the valley of the shadow
free
of death.
Free from eternal separation from God.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, he sets prisoners free all the time, but mm-hmm. we're talking in the most literal sense, these are captives. Mm-hmm. They have died. They're captive. So the valley of the shadow of death, the ultimate purpose of Passover is to destroy death. He was slain from the foundation of the world to this end. 1 Corinthians 15, he must reign till he's put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. 2 Timothy 1, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. Imagine that. He has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And yesterday I read from Revelation, the death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire for the second death. Revelation 21, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, no more pain. The former things have passed away. So he's descending to this. Now, above ground, here's what happens. Matthew 27. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you. Truly, this was the Son of God. So talk about your understatements. This is history, well-known history. So they can't write this and then just walk off. This is written in that season, in this time.
Right.
So, but they also don't go into detail. Secondly, the guy who wrote it is hiding in his room while it's going on. He's terrified. Well, with Passover as our context, we can piece it together pretty easy. The earthquake opens the door for Jesus into the bosom of Abraham. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For the first time ever, light has invaded the darkness of Hades.
Mm.
Now, think about this. Jesus arrives, his skin shredded from the lash, holes in his hands, feet, and side. He's been beaten and bloodied and hardly looks human except to the prophets who saw him like this long before. We'll jump on that next.
A walking Isaiah.
It was. And David as well.
Yeah. Mm.
I mean, nobody else would have ever recognized him, but they had to both go, hey, I saw this once.
Wow.
And why was that? Because they had to recognize him, and they had to testify of him so others could recognize him.
Mm.
You're watching on Facebook Live a Passover Seder with Ray Haynes, and you can click on victory.radio. It's right on there on the website. It's on the Risenstein Facebook page, the Victory Facebook page. We're going to come back two more parts to this.
For the resurrection.
And we're going to come back after this next song from Cutlass.